goes nowhere.
All right, man. Welcome to Crow 777 Radio. This is hour one of episode 638. Jason Lingren is with me and Clive DeCarl returns. We're going to do what we do with Clive. From my part, my life has been improved from the supplements I've learned about from Clive, and there is not a day go by that I don't take the ones that I zeroed in on that I particularly need. Before we have this conversation, I'm going to say an important thing here. Everyone is different. And all the fighting I see, as a matter of fact, we're going to cover one of those topics right out of the gate. But all the fighting I see online is almost nonsensical. How many people do you know that can go out in the sun all day? How many people do you know that can go for a few minutes? How many people do you know that really need to avoid the sun predominantly? People are different. Everybody does not have the same, I don't know what it's called, biology, physiology, whatever it's called. People react differently to different things. And in that, your health is on you and your doctor if you have one and use one. You've got to figure out what you need, what works for you, and so on. Anyhow, welcome, Jason.
And a very hot good morning.
All right. Welcome back, Clive.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
You want to do a quick rundown, tell people what you got going on, where they can get involved with you?
Yes. My website, where I sell supplements and devices, is clivedecarl.com. Then I have a second website where I'm actually allowed to tell the truth, which, you know, telling the truth in England is pretty much banned now, called secrethealthclub.com. And people can join that. If they can't afford to join it, all you've got to do is send me an email and say, I can't afford it, but I can afford this much. If you've got zero money, write that and we'll sign you up for free. It's an incredible library of information. You know, I'm now 71 years old, so I've had a lot of time to spend hours and hours, days, months, years on YouTube and reading books and so on. And I've tried to, in the A to Z of health issues, put the most important videos or articles first so you can get right down to it right away. It's very important, so I don't have time to do consultations for everybody, and it's a way through that.
And before we jump in, I'll say one more thing. To get someone like Clive, who has personally put together quality supplements, is a far cry from my point of view than wandering into like a Walgreens or a CVS and getting those mostly very low dose, heavily gel capped type things. There is, I didn't used to know this, but now that I've experienced quality supplements, there is a massive difference. There is not a day go by that I don't do magnesium from Clive, the B complexes, the niacin, and the B complex is case in point. We had people on telling us how horrible it was and how synthetic and how this. I'll tell you what, I've been since 2018 or 19 without arthritis in my hands that was getting to a point where it was starting to impede what I was able to do. That's gone. And that I attribute to supplements. But we're going to open up here with one that's being fought about endlessly, which I have personally used for well over a year now. And again, everybody's different. What might be workable for me might not be workable for you. But that substance is called methylene blue. It's been around a long, long time. It's been in emergency rooms forever because it solves very immediate problems to do with the blood, I think. Maybe we'll talk about that. But Jason, anything you want to add before we get Clive in on methylene blue?
Well, I've heard of plenty of people using it. But before we forget, Clive, do we still have the 10% discount on the sponsor link on the website?
Yes, you do.
Okay, so that code is capital CRROW, capital HEALTH 10, Crow Health 10.
That's on the sponsorship page. I think it's probably in the top row, but you'll see Clive DeCarl. It's easily marked. If you click on that image, it notifies Clive that you're coming from here and that you're due a discount. But do you use methylene blue, Jason?
I did try it, but I don't take it regularly. But I did just get it from my daughter to take every day regularly because Dr. Diana suggested it as part of the protocol that she has her on.
So I think, before I get you in here, Clive, I think part of the reason methylene blue started to go south is because Mel Gibson talked about, I think it was Joe Rogan. So that happened. And then that's when I noticed people fighting about it. And one of the things about these fights online that are so ridiculous, you don't know if you're talking to a bot anymore. As a matter of fact, you don't know if the bot started the argument. That's how bad it's gotten online. But Clive, let's talk about Methylene Blue. I've been using it for maybe even close to 2 years now. It's well over a year. And what I notice is when I take it for, I don't know, 45 minutes-ish, I feel uplifted slightly. Maybe my vision is slightly sharper, just kind of a well-being thing.
Well, yes, I find the same. And many, many people do. Often on the first day of trying it, it's like their brain has woken up. And the research, which I've been doing for quite a long time, I've been using it for 2+ years. The research, particularly when it comes to dementia and Alzheimer's repair, reversal, is quite extraordinary because it seems to have the ability to create new neurons, you know, create new pathways for the brain to work properly again. You're like regrowing your brain. And like so many supplements, it is synthetic. It's made in a lab, but then again, almost all supplements actually are. Does that mean it's a bad thing? Well, generally, you know, I think everybody would agree, we want to avoid synthetic substances. And this applies massively to food, which is the real problem. But synthetic supplements can be good, they can be bad. It depends how they're made. Whenever you see in the press some hit piece about vitamins, for example, they've always used vitamins that have been based synthetically, a mimic of the real thing, whereas the vitamin C, for instance, that I recommend is ascorbic acid made in a lab. However, it's made from vegetables, and the source material makes a big difference to the efficacy. And, you know, sometimes dose is everything. And we were chatting before the show about this lady who wrote to me, and she wrote to me about 3 weeks after first trying Methylene Blue. And she said she was very wary about it because every day in her life, she'd had mild fits, not full-blown epilepsy, but fits that she was very aware of several times a day. So she was cautious and perhaps very wisely started with 2 drops. You know, a lot of people start, let's say, with 8 drops or something. So that day, and she wrote this letter 3 weeks later, she said she had more fits that day than she'd ever had in her life, but she was happy about it because with each fit, they were diminishing in the intensity. So the next morning, she took 1 drop, and 3 weeks later, she wrote she hadn't had a fit since.
That's incredible. And we should talk about the key thing you said there for a minute. You mentioned that sometimes dose is everything. And I think a lot of people fall into the idea that if something's good, more is better. Can we talk about dosing for a minute, particularly with something like Methylene Blue?
Well, I know a medical doctor who is using it via intravenous in massive doses and reversing, essentially, we can't say this in England, but in America I can, cancer. But normally the dose might be something like 10 milligrams, which would be the equivalent of 10 drops. It seems from the research done by Georgi Dimkov, if you haven't heard of Georgi Dimkov, very, very interesting researcher, he shows that more than 10 milligrams in normal situations doesn't seem to have any benefit. So 10 milligrams is actually a very economical dose financially. And it means it really does go a long way. I've been experimenting with Methylene Blue as a powder in powder form mixed with other substances to enhance the effect. And we've reduced the dose, then we reduced the dose more, now we've reduced the dose even more because there was no need to have the dose we originally thought would be ideal. Less is more. But in other cases, like vitamin C, the body takes what it needs. So if somebody's got cancer, they might need 30 grams a day. They might need double that, triple that even. There are people who've been brought back from the dead with intravenous vitamin C. But for normal people who aren't about to die tomorrow, taking ascorbic acid is a super inexpensive way forward. It tastes the nicest. I mean, yes, it'd be great to get your vitamin C from fruits and so on, but not everybody has the luxury of the freshness of fruits. You know, you pick an orange And by the next day, the vitamin C has deteriorated, and so on day by day. The mineral content is unchanged, but vitamins deteriorate. So back in 1936, the National Committee of the US government heard that 99% of minerals in food were now deficient. That was in 1936. You know, things have been pretty bad nutritionally for a long time. And whereas supplements would have been unthinkable 200 years ago, now people are almost insane not to realize that they need to make up the gaps.
Now, to say the least, I do have a couple more things to say about methylene blue, and then I'll ask Jason. One thing about it, and this is really neither here nor there, it's my personal experience. When I put it into a glass, the color of it makes me feel better. It's a happy feeling the color imparts to me. But here's what I really wanted to point out. I've used a lot of dyes in my life. Of course, I was alive in the 70s when the whole tie-dye thing was going on. Remember, they used RIT dye? And if you got that RIT dye on anything, man, it was dyed. It was stained. You had to be careful. And I think I sent a picture of this to Jason and Rose. I had this white patio table, and I love the color of that methylene blue. I thought, well, it's supposed to be a dye, so I'm going to dye my table, which I did. And I sent pictures. Did you see them, Jason?
Yes.
Of my blue table. And it was just that gorgeous blue.
Yep.
Just to see that table puts a smile on your face. But here's what happened. And this is the interesting part. So I dyed it. I let it sit for hours and hours. Then I got the hose and I sprayed it off on the lawn and I got it set back up. And I got busy for about 2 or 3 days and there had been a lot of sun. Well, that night it rained after we had 3 days of straight on sun, and it damn near washed all the blue off. So here's this dye, but it's not like a RIT dye or something else. The sun literally undyed my table. It was still slightly blue, but it didn't work as a dye to dye the table. And I just thought it was interesting that the sun broke it down like that.
Yes, very interesting. And a number of things will break it down. Vitamin C, you want to, if you are using methylene blue, take the vitamin C at a different time. Don't take it at the same time as methylene blue because it's likely to neutralize it. I'm not sure about iodine, but that might be the same. The iodine and vitamin C are so powerful, they can really affect other things dramatically.
And that's another thing I do daily is iodine. And that's been a real positive change for me. And I think you told me way back for cysts and things. And I used to occasionally get cysts, and it's really helped in that regard. Anything you want to add about the methylene blue, Jason?
Well, I believe Dr. Diana has my daughter on it for circulation issues in conjunction with multiple other things.
Isn't that why it's in ERs, Clive? Isn't it some immediate thing that they need to solve and that's why they've had methylene blue?
Well, it'll kill bacteria, fungus. Nothing will survive methylene blue, basically. Microscopists discovered its properties when they were trying to stain specimens, and all the specimens died the moment they tried to stain it. And so it's been used in hospitals for well over a century, and as far as I'm aware, without side effects. I might be wrong about that, but I haven't heard of any.
Well, I've got a note here that says methemoglobinemia is the condition that they can treat in the ER where the blood can't effectively carry oxygen. Does that ring a bell?
Yeah, and I think that's a big part of why the brain is revitalized.
Okay, what's next on the hit list, Jason?
Okay, so Clive, on our past shows, you've talked about how basic mineral deficiencies are often the root of chronic issues. But now we're seeing data confirming how damaging common over-the-counter drugs can be, especially for children. A 2022 analysis in JAMA Psychiatry tied acetaminophen use during pregnancy to a significantly higher risk of ADHD in offspring, and other studies show NSAIDs, like ibuprofen, may disrupt the gut microbiome and mitochondrial function long-term. For parents who are hearing this and feeling overwhelmed, where do we start when it comes to natural, safe alternatives for inflammation and pain? What mineral deficiencies are we overlooking?
Okay. Well, I can't stress enough how dangerous all the ibuprofen, NSAIDs-type drugs are. I've always wondered why, you know, here at the gas station, what's cheaper than petrol? Well, water is more expensive than petrol. What's the cheapest thing on the shelves? Here in England, it's usually paracetamol or ibuprofen, standard painkillers. They're so cheap. I always wondered, why were they so cheap? They make a profit, exorbitant profit on everything, but not that. So, I mean, for 20-odd years, I've been warning people about the kidney damage and various organ damage that these drugs can do. I don't know what they say now, but when you used to say, how do these drugs work? They generally said, well, we're not quite sure, but they do. So what are the safe alternatives? Well, some of them are surprising. Vitamin D, for example. You know, most people, I would say, in the United States, because they're indoors a lot and chemtrails and what have you, they're not getting the vitamin D from sunshine that they ought to get. You know, instead, they spend loads of money on infrared devices when the best infrared on the planet is sunshine and then a wood fire. Our ancestors got all the infrared they ever needed without having to spend a penny. Everything from depression to immune system, vitamin D is absolutely essential. As a painkiller, it's pretty good. I mean, my number one go-to would probably be magnesium because it's very quick, very fast acting. One could get DMSO and rub that into wherever it hurts, which is sulfur. And we could talk about sulfur and its alternative MSM and the foods that give sulfur. CBD or proper THC cannabis can for some people be absolute magic from a pain relief point of view. There are the essential oils. You know, most of the essential oils from trees are very, very effective. And one could ask ChatGPT for a blend of essential oils for pain relief. And they can be fabulous. But why have we got pain in the first place? Well, usually it's either poisoning or deficiency, as is everything. And processed foods, ultra-processed foods, have got to be one of the most dangerous things around right now. And that's something also we should discuss. But, you know, getting rid of the cause, there's one thing taking ibuprofen or something to get rid of the pain, but what about the root cause? Could it be dehydration, which is for many people a key factor in why they've got pain in the first place? But it may be that actually they're lacking magnesium as a basis, probably lacking in all the major minerals from iodine to selenium to zinc to copper. In pretty much everything, everybody is low on absolutely everything these days, sadly.
Well, it's in our food. I'm sure everyone recalls the story about magnesium, which I think started our original conversation. It was either that or my hand because I was getting arthritis and trigger finger. But I've noticed something about ibuprofen. When you go into like an ER now, at least where I am, instead of pain medication, they'll try to pair Tylenol. I want to say they pair two of those together. And when you're in the Marine Corps, when I was in the Marine Corps, if you get hurt, the first thing they give you is mega doses of Motrin, like 1,200 milligrams, these big, huge pills. But to get back to the point, the original conversation we were having about magnesium, I think it was India, when cancer started to go through the roof, and correct me if I get any of this wrong, Clive, if I reiterate this improperly, a guy was looking at why the cancer rates were going up everywhere. I think it was Egypt didn't seem to have the cancer rise. He looked into it and he concluded they still had magnesium in their food supply. Did I get that about right?
Yeah. And just to divert for 1 second before we get back to the pain-killing thing, in Kuwait recently, they did a big survey of what people ate and what the diseases that they were suffering from. And it turned out, unlike most countries where, you know, advanced development means people eat richer foods or perhaps better foods or in some cases worse foods, that in Kuwait, the poorest people still living in the desert in tents eat virtually exactly the same food as the rich people living in the cities. So they could rule out food as the differentiation between why some people were healthy and some people were ill. And after a lot of research, it turned out that it's primarily detergents. Also electricity, but detergents were the big one, particularly rinse aid. So most dishwashers, certainly the one I've got, doesn't rinse off the rinse aid properly. You can still smell it in some cases. And yeah, it means you haven't got sort of water spots on your glasses. But it turns out that's hugely damaging to people's health. It's way bigger than I think most people would have imagined. Getting back to the painkilling thing, one of the big ones is B vitamin deficiencies. If you're low on B vitamins, and most people are, particularly people who aren't eating animal products, that can lead to a whole host of problems, including unhappiness, but it can mean an inability to deal properly with pain. Similarly, the mineral selenium. You know, everybody with fibromyalgia or ME, you can almost bet your bottom dollar they're all going to be low on magnesium and selenium, pretty much every single one of them, because why can't they deal with pain? Well, something's missing.
Well, it made a huge difference in my life. Every day, magnesium, B-complex, and niacin. My hair seems stronger than it used to. I don't feel like I'm balding at all. And the big one was the trigger finger that I had while we were on the air all those years ago, and the arthritis, all gone. I cannot even detect any arthritis-like feeling or trigger finger in my hands anymore these years later. And I attribute it to that.
Yeah. You know, I'm 40 years in because I had rheumatoid arthritis, as you know, so badly I couldn't even walk or get dressed. And I haven't had a twinge since in over 40 years. And it's great.
Jason, do you have things that are like your everyday? Like for me, I've mentioned them, but also iodine nearly every day, the methylene blue multiple times a week. There are others, but do you have ones that you rely on?
I take Shilajit, charcoal, pearl powder, and ginkgo biloba.
Have you noticed anything with your eyes and the pearl powder?
Unfortunately not. My eyes are pretty messed up.
Because we've heard stories about people getting amazing results with their eyes. But let's keep moving here. What's next on the list?
One of the most heartbreaking issues we hear about from our listeners is watching a loved one fade into dementia. The memory loss, confusion, and personality shifts is devastating. But new science is catching up to what you've been saying for years, Clive, that this isn't just bad luck or genetics. A 2023 paper in Frontiers in Aging Neuroscience linked B12 deficiency to brain shrinkage and cognitive decline, while iodine plays a vital role in neurotransmitter regulation. Even magnesium, especially the threonate form, has been shown to cross the blood-brain barrier and enhance memory. What do you recommend for people who want to nourish their brain now before symptoms set in? And for those already seeing early signs, is it too late or can the brain recover?
Well, most people know, but doctors apparently don't seem to know, that the brain is primarily water and then secondarily fat, primarily cholesterol. So, you know, years ago, people were told to follow a low-fat, low-cholesterol diet, and then they got Swiss cheese for brains and they got dementia and Alzheimer's and so on.
Clive, that sounds like a conspiracy.
It is a conspiracy. Yeah, they've been conspiring against us. It's true. So the first time I saw an amazing result with dementia was somebody who took 4 tablespoonfuls of coconut oil every day. And within 12 weeks, when they couldn't speak on the phone, for instance, because they were unintelligible, then 12 weeks on 4 tablespoonfuls of coconut oil every day, they could speak on the phone like they had 2 years previously. It only took 12 weeks to do that. But then on top of that, you want the necessary nutrients for good brain development. And if you're buying it in a packet in the supermarket, that won't be the stuff you need. You know, our ancestors made bone broths a lot. Our ancestors had a lot of fermented foods to get them through winter. Our ancestors ate seasonally and locally and so on. Now, if we can mimic that to as best a degree as we can, and the ways would be, for instance, the things we've discussed already, fulvic minerals, you know, soil-based minerals can be absolutely vital to getting the brain to work again. Then there's the probiotics and the prebiotics. They used to think that the microbiome, the friendly gut bacteria, was just in the gut, but now they know it's in the brain and everywhere else as well. So we need to reestablish the healthy microbiome in the brain as well as the rest of the body. And there are a couple of ways to do that. One is prebiotics, eating foods that the bacteria really loves to eat. And various vegetables will do that. But for most people, that's not enough because they've had a drug at some point. So their friendly bacteria is pretty much decimated. So if we were born naturally, we would have inherited friendly bacteria from our mum, we would have got it from granny and so on. And any drug pretty much wipes that out, any pharmaceutical. So to put it back, you want to feed those friendly bacteria with the food that actually our sort of ancient ancestors would have eaten a lot of. And those foods would have been a lot more root vegetables. And in there are what's called oligosaccharides, like a primitive types of sugar. And it turns out that oligosaccharides is what the friendly bacteria we were born with likes to have for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So we make a supplement of that called Panaceum, a bit like Panacea. And like so many of the things, these nutrient supplements, a lot of people notice the difference on day one. Then there's the probiotics, from live yogurt to live sauerkraut, you know, anything raw. Incredibly easy to make fermented foods. I mean, ridiculously easy. 5 minutes and you've done it. I've got videos on the Secret Health Club about how to make fermented drinks and foods the easy, quick way. It's so simple and massively healthy. And if you happen to be vegan, fermented vegetables are one of the ways you can get, for instance, the B vitamins that, generally speaking, are difficult to find outside of animal products. So fermented foods, fantastic for the gut, for the brain. And we keep on going back to depression. You know, one of the reasons people are depressed is the lack of friendly gut bacteria. So one of the first things I do for almost everybody is suggest take care of your gut, get your friendly bacteria. And as you know, the bacteria in our body outnumbers us roughly 10 to 1. You know, who are you, a bunch of human cells with skin, or are you a bunch of bacteria hiding within a human body? Well, you know, sort of you're the latter.
Well, in my part of the world, there is almost zero fermented foods on the menu, with a few exceptions. And they're a big deal when you look at the cultures that have staple fermented foods. They get a lot of health benefits from that. As a matter of fact, we had a long time ago the fermenting fairy on an episode, and she told the story of how Doc said, guess what? You've got Crohn's disease and you got to have that for life. And she believed what I believed, that almost everything is curable. And she got into fermenting things and she cured herself. So it goes to show, that was episode 320, The Fermenting Fairy. And that's what I'm talking about. Doc says, oh, you got this thing you can't get rid of. And yet she plowed forward and found a solution and did cure herself. And I think it's critical. But I mean, can we even think, where you are, Clive, do you guys have any fermented foods that are common anymore?
Not that are common. You can buy raw, unpasteurized fermented foods in the health food shops. But it's so cheap and easy to make yourself. I mean, ridiculously cheap and easy. And I wouldn't buy the stuff because 5 minutes I can make it. Yeah, I've got to wait a week for it to ferment. But it's super easy to do. You know, if I can get unpasteurized cheese or unpasteurized milk or butter, I'd get that. But they're making that very difficult in England.
That's almost impossible here. And you've got to wonder, like, if you went to a place, like, I think Switzerland is known for its cheese, and I'm guessing that cheese is probably still alive. That must give them health benefits that we're missing.
And you might be getting unpasteurized cheese and not know it, because quite a few cheeses, a lot of parmesans and so on, can't be made with pasteurized milk. It just doesn't work. So there probably are some unpasteurized cheeses on the shelf, but not necessarily advertised as such.
So you could get like a block. The problem with the Parmesan cheeses in America is it's usually the Kraft green one everyone gets, but apparently there's like wood pulp and everything in it now. It's just ridiculous, but you can still buy, I didn't know what you just told me, so I'm going to think about that and get like the little, you know, the wedge before it's ground. So I'm going to give that a go.
Yeah, I mean, ground Parmesan tastes absolutely horrible compared to the real fresh stuff ground.
Yeah.
It oxidizes very, very quickly in minutes.
Well, if you looked into what's in those Kraft green bottles, most people would quit eating it.
No, they won't.
Kraft are owned by Nestle, aren't they? They're those nice people who said that water is not a human right.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. Oh, I just saw a member of my family was watching that movie Taking Woodstock. And I just happened to be walking by when they were talking about some guy charged someone $1 for water. And they were beside themselves. And I remember back to the 80s, no one was going to buy water in the 80s. It was unheard of. Water was free.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. Oh, one of the things that I forgot to mention is Masterpiece. I do daily. Are you familiar with the Masterpiece, Clive?
No.
We'll have to talk about it.
I also take that daily. I forgot to mention.
There's some stories. There's an autism story. I think it's public. I won't mention it. I'll tell you later because I'm not sure if it's public, but there's an autism story with Masterpiece that's mind-blowing. But anyhow, let's keep moving on the list.
Okay, so next one, there is a Parkinson drug, Requip or Repinerol, that's been prescribed for over 20 years, and it's now been tied to extreme compulsive behaviors like gambling, shopping addiction, and even hypersexuality. Peer-reviewed studies confirm that it can hijack the dopamine system, leading to life-altering consequences for people who never saw it coming. Meanwhile, natural dopamine regulation depends on amino acids like tyrosine, vitamins like B6 and B9, and minerals like zinc and magnesium, all of which most people are lacking. Is there a better way to support the nervous system and restore balance without the chemical roller coaster?
Yes, there certainly are a number of things that people need to consider if they've got that sort of issue. For number one, Parkinson's is essentially a vitamin B1 deficiency, that's thiamine. And the way to use thiamine is to first read up about it. And there's a great book about thiamine. Well, I can give you a link to that later. But it's basically the answer. B1 is so important. Every B vitamin is critical, but B1 can solve everything from anorexia, which is a B1 deficiency, to Parkinson's. It may not solve Parkinson's, but it can dramatically change the situation. There's a book called Parkinson's and B1 Therapy, which anybody should read if they're interested in that kind of thing. Yeah, the Repinol. GlaxoSmithKline made this Parkinson's drug, and they've known for 20 years that it causes sexual deviancy, gambling addiction, you name it, any type of perverse activity, self-damaging, self-harming. They've known for 20 years and covered it up, which is normal. You know, don't expect anything less from pharmaceutical industry. The results I've seen reversing Parkinson's, cannabis, whether it's a THC tincture or in whatever form, oil, a lot of people stop shaking within a couple of hours or maybe even minutes of trying cannabis. Then there's hydroxy gas. We have a hydroxy gas generator on the site, which a lot of people, 2 hours off of breathing the hydroxy gas, which is just electrolysis of water splitting into hydrogen oxygen, you then breathe it. Now, they use it in heart operations around the world. Very, very safe. And quite often people stop shaking after a couple of hours, not always. Then pulsed electromagnetic frequencies, big, powerful PEMF devices, like the type that cost $20,000. I've seen people put their hands within the electromagnetic ring and within a couple of minutes stop shaking. There are really quite a number of things that can be done. On the Secret Health Club, we've got a Parkinson's page, which talks about a lot of the methodology. But you know, it's about rebuilding the brain. I'd be using methylene blue right away, get those neurons firing again. I'd be using lots of magnesium. Iodine is brilliant for brain function. I'd be taking selenium because that always goes with iodine. Vitamin D. I've noticed more with multiple sclerosis than Parkinson's, but quite often it's people who don't go out much. They stay indoors a lot, don't like the sun. And because the sun is so powerful, the vitamin D, I think that can have a huge part in correcting Parkinson's. I'd be using frequency devices. I'd be using things like pine pollen, tincture of pine pollen. I could write you a huge long list, but watching the Parkinson's page will illuminate quite a lot of other things you could try.
You know, I hadn't thought about it. If I'm not mistaken, or at least when I started to have Parkinson's and my tremors were getting so bad a few years ago, were you giving me anything that you're aware of that would have been a treatment for that? Because I've attributed, first of all, I was of a mind, or I had heard, you can't get rid of Parkinson's once you have it. I don't have it, so I know that's not true. But I had attributed most of it to like the Recoweg-like remedies. But now that you're mentioning the bees, it could have been that some of the things you were giving me helped.
Well, and tremors are often to do with magnesium deficiency. And what makes magnesium work really well? Well, vitamin C. So I would say magnesium is the most likely thing for tremors.
I mean, are they still telling people that once you have Parkinson's, you got it for life? Is that still a medical fallacy?
As far as I'm concerned, yes. I mean, I'm not saying that everybody, particularly if they've got very advanced stage, is going to get back to normal. You know, I think that can be very, very difficult. But, you know, B12 deficiency has got to be a massive part of any type of neurodegenerative disorder. Again, the people not eating animal products need to particularly consider, should they be supplementing, perhaps with a high dose of vitamin B12, perhaps higher than is in our complex. One can go to the doctor and get a vitamin B12 test, or I'm sure you can do it online. The doctors, of course, are given the wrong numbers. How some of the tricks work is they say, we've looked at the numbers and you're fine, whereas somebody, a natural health person, might say, no, you're way over already, or you haven't got enough B12 already. Doctors wait until you got dementia before they act. You could look at it that they are creating customers by ignoring vitamin deficiency because they're not taught vitamins or minerals. You know, they don't know.
Well, in America, all you've got to do is go look at what people are being fed when they go into the hospital. I recently was in a hospital visiting someone who'd been there a week, and they have fruit cups that are 80% sugar. You can just tell by the food that the medical establishment here is making zero connection between what we eat and your health. Because if they were, the kitchens would be much different.
Oh, 100%. It's probably just as bad here in England. I mean, it's incredible, isn't it? It's so obvious you are what you eat. I mean, how more obvious do you need it to be?
I mean, that's not even really an arguable point. On the face of it, it's obvious.
I went to the doctor years ago when I was researching, and I said, I just want to have a meeting. And I said, look, somebody comes who's got an iodine deficiency, which, you know, a doctor 150 years ago would have immediately said, oh, well, iodine deficiency, that's going to cause a thyroid problem. And they used to give iodine for thyroid problems. And I said to the doctor, well, look, let's say you know that bit of information. Could you give it to a patient? He said, well, no, unfortunately, I can't, because we have the NICE system, something like the clinical excellence. And so in that rules, I have to give this drug first, then that drug, then that drug. And only after those three drugs have failed, can I actually suggest iodine legally.
Unbelievable. I got to ask this question. I've got a next door neighbor who's a doctor, probably in the early 40s, who actually quit being a doctor because of what happened during COVID and after. And it was the first time I'd ever seen someone who put that much money and education into their lives and then said, I'm not doing this anymore because I can't take it. It's ridiculous. Do you know any doctors who have done that, Clive?
If they market themselves properly, they can do incredibly well, because despite people not trusting doctors, we're so ingrained to trust them. And in certain cases, particularly the more elderly doctors, were taught how to physically examine somebody. You know, when I was young, the doctor would come around to your house. They'd poke you about and they'd test pulses and listen to your various parts of your body and so on. So the older doctors were very good at diagnosis, using their hands to feel and so on, using their brains, rather than go to ChatGPT to ask what drug would be best.
Well, back when they were still practicing, right? That was one of the things he told me when I talked to him about it. He said, we're not practicing. We're being told what to do, and we're being told what to do by administrators who have no medical training.
Well, precisely, and accountants probably as well.
Yep.
And, yeah, I mean, what's the biggest lobby in the world? As far as I understand, it's the pharmaceutical industry. They're the ones who bribe the politicians the most.
I'm sure it's instructions coming down from insurance companies and pharmaceutical companies because they're massive.
Well, exactly. Insurance companies love war the most because they don't have to pay out for acts of war.
You know, I think the failures of the medical system in this country have led a lot of people to become more responsible for their own health, the people who care enough anyhow.
Well, you know, a lot of people, it seems, would be quite pleased to die because life's miserable for them.
All right, so the next one. Clive, you've been warning us for years about hidden additives in food, but now the science is catching up in a really big way. In 2023, Nature Mental Health published a study linking ultra-processed foods with a 42% increase in depression, especially among women. At the same time, IBS, which is irritable bowel syndrome, rates have jumped nearly 40% in the past decade, and researchers are connecting the dots between emulsifiers, artificial sweeteners, seed oils, and inflammation in the gut-brain axis. But here's the silver lining. Simple things like probiotics, digestive enzymes, B12, and even trace minerals are being shown to reverse this trend. What do you tell people who feel like food is wrecking their body and mood? And is it really possible to heal this from the inside out?
Well, yes, it is. I mean, the figures in America now, something like 70% of children have a chronic illness, which is unbelievable. You know, it would have been probably close to naught two generations back. You know, fertility globally has decreased 62% in less than 50 years. And it's to do with food. The problem is that these artificial chemicals, they're growing the foods in, spraying on the food and the preservatives and so on, are mind-blowingly dangerous. And they've never been tested, not really. And unfortunately, if we want to live to a ripe old age, we have to be super aware of what we're eating as early as possible. There's a lot of research just come out about carbohydrates. And it turns out that if in your 40s and 50s, you are eating ultra-processed carbohydrates, then your risk of dementia increases massively, just a huge amount. And so things like Alzheimer's and dementia, they start happening maybe 30 years or so before it actually manifests as being so bad that people notice. But we've got to be aware that we've got to get all the artificial foods out of our lives. And people say, well, I can't get it, I can't afford it. But there are ways around everything. And if we start demanding it, slowly it'll come. When I'm feeling suitably courageous, if I go into a restaurant, I'll say, well, what if you got this organic? Have you got an organic beer? You know, what have you got that's organic? And if they say, well, we don't do organic, I'll say, what, you mean it's all poisoned? All of it? Really? You know, the shock tactic. But we have to get the poisons out of our lives because, I mean, for instance, the children now who are eating the non-real meat burgers, for instance, the depression rate, I think, is now something like 55% increase in depression rate for the children eating, you know, the almost meat or whatever it is. It's massive and getting worse.
It's coming to a head now. Have you guys know there's a in America, there's a big push by Wendy's for this flaming hot chip thing called a Takis, and they've combined it with their meal. And the first week they did it, people actually went to the hospital. If you look at a picture of one of those Takis burgers or whatever it is, it doesn't even look like food. But I saw a commercial on TV for this, the Takis menu or whatever it was. It's trademarked, among other things. But the last thing they said in the commercial was something like, for the new customers, good luck, or something to that effect. It's unbelievable. And not only that, I mean, we're experiencing right now the first generation of young people who being made to go outside is a punishment. Never mind getting exercise and playing. When I was their age, we spent 80, if not more, percent of our time outside doing things. And we've hit a generation now that doesn't even know what outside is. And apparently to go eat something that looks like one of these Takis meals is acceptable. It's unbelievable. But my point is they know damn well what they're doing because people have already been put in the hospital because of it. As a matter of fact, they tweeted after that the word oops. In a tweet I saw, people said that you're sending people to the hospital, and it said oops. Unbelievable.
I think one of the funniest things that is our childhood punishments, like get up early, go to bed early, you can't play outside, and now our pleasures. You know, we want to be outside, want to get up early and go to bed early.
Now being made to go outside is a punishment, apparently. I was talking to younger people, and I was mentioning this, and they said, well, what the heck did you do? You know, they couldn't figure, what would you possibly do if you had to go outside? I said, we played all day, we hiked, we had bikes, we did everything. And they don't get it. There's no signal outside, you know?
Yeah, it's quite so weird. Yeah, imagination. I mean, I used to love playing cowboys and Indians. You know, I'd be hiding in the woods where my parents I thought they couldn't see me and be popping pop guns at them. It's great.
Yeah, I was the weird kid. I always wanted to be the Indian.
Well, yeah, quite. There's incredible psychology going on at the moment with the ads for junk foods. They've done research with a whole bunch of kids, and it turns out that all they've got to do is see the logo or hear the jingle, and it makes them eat, I can't remember what the percentage is, quite a lot more food. They don't even have to see a picture of the food. And then another study has just found that colorectal cancer cases are skyrocketing in young adults. And you know, what could it be? Digestive cancers are on the rise. What on earth could it be? I wonder. I wish doctors knew.
This kind of psychology attached to fast food's been going on for longer than I've been alive. When I was in my 20s and still doing the school thing, we did a study on why the colors were used in fast food places. If I remember correctly, I think it was the reds and the yellows. And the idea was they had figured out colors that made you want to come in, eat, finish, and get out. That was part of what was behind their color scheme back then.
That sounds very much like an Edward Bernays thing.
Well, almost everything is.
I used to work in a hamburger joint when I was very young. And I said, why are the seats so incredibly uncomfortable? He said, oh, that's deliberate. I chose the most uncomfortable ones so people wouldn't stay around.
The logic is definitely understandable, even though it's not a very nice thing to do.
Yeah, fast food, they don't care.
When psychology came to be, it was a bad day for living things in this world.
All right, we're at the top of the hour, so when we get back, we will be doing hormone replacement therapy.
I'd like to touch on the addiction thing, too, at some point in the next hour, Clive. There's so many people trying to get free of pharmaceuticals.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, let's.
Why don't you go ahead and tell folks where they can find you and interact one more time, and I'll wrap up hour one. We'll come back for hour two.
So the website is clivedecarle.com, but if you click through the link that Crow will provide, there are all sorts of discounts and stuff like that. So clivedecarle.com, or the affiliate link rather, and then secrethealthclub.com, where the information is, where we can tell the truth.
That's a novel idea. Anyhow, that's where we've come to. Anything that's helpful, you're not allowed to talk about on these platforms. Anyhow, this has been Hour 1 of Episode 638 with Jason Lingren and Clive DeCarle. Hour 1 is free to everybody at crow777radio.com. That is crrow777radio.com. Members know to log in for the full episode. Members get access to all the forums and comments section. They can create top-level ideas and topics. They can stream the two-hour film called Shoot the Moon that has 10 awards in the world covering all my older telescope work. As we speak now, we are starting to discuss the next film, which will center on my telescope work and the sun and the so-called second sun. Also on the site, members get exclusive access to my solar work. There are just about to be 17 member solar investigation videos. There are currently 16 posted. The best work I have done to date will be in 17, which is coming out hopefully within this next week. Also on the website are the stills. People requested stills they could print. And when you download the files, you can print them any size you want, some of them up to about 50 inches or better. Again, if you do this and you hang it in your office or your home, please take a pic and send them to us, because I'm collecting those. And some people have printed them on glass. They are absolutely gorgeous. With that, we're going to take a short break, come back for hour two. And truly, I hope to see you logged in as a member. There it is, man. I'd like to wish you all a happy, healthy, and higher-minded new era. Cheers. We'll be right back.
belief is the enemy of knowing.